You're listening to the Weekend Sport Podcast with Jason Pine from Newstalk ZB.
Third round, five over at Augusta National in a share of 26th. Heading into the final round tomorrow morning, New Zealand time, 11 shots back from the leader, American world number one, Scotty Scheffler. He's 7 under, closely followed by his compatriots, Colin Morikawa, 6 under. He's second. Max Homer is 2 shots back. He is 5 under, 2 shots back from Scotty Scheffler, that is, in third place. Let's bring in Graeme Agars from Augusta. Can we start with Ryan Fox? Is that a good way to describe the round, Graeme? A bit weird for Ryan Fox today?
I knew you'd ask me to explain it. I can't, but I'll tell you what happened. He started with 3 birdies, so he's 4 under, and I'm thinking, here we go. And then he has 4 bogeys in a row from 7 to 10. That's not so good. Then he birdies 13. We're back on track. Then he bogeys 14. Then he has a triple bogey at 17. And just for good measure, he bogeys 18. So I can't explain that round. I doubt whether his caddy can. And obviously, Ryan can't either. It was bizarre. All I can say is the course is right on the edge of almost being unplayable. The winds were down today, but they were still there. But what those winds did yesterday is they really dried the greens out. And they are super quick. And if you don't put it in the right place on those greens, you're going to make big numbers. And Ryan wasn't the only guy that had weird rounds. If you look at Scotty Scheffler, he's cruising. Comes to 10 double bogey, bogeys 11, and he's down at 4 under. Suddenly he's 3 shots off the pace instead of leading the tournament. Then he eagles 13 and holes out for a birdie on 18. Now he's back leading. And I'm trying to write voices for the news at the top of the hour. In that hour, I wrote 3 voices and none of them were correct. So I said, whatever, take this. And then you look at our friend DeChambeau. He's cruising and then comes to the 15th. He's behind the trees. So the obvious thing on the par 5 15th is to lay up. But he can't spell the word lay up and he just won't do it. So he tries to hook a 6-iron around the trees, over the water, onto the green, and fails miserably and hits it into the crowd on an adjoining fairway. And from there, fluffs his chip into the water and finishes up walking off with a double bogey 7. And then he comes to the last hole and he's 100 yards short in two shots, and he holds out for a birdie. So I gave up. I just gave up. And listening to the players, they came into the interview, they're all going, I don't know what happened out there, but I'm just glad I am where I am, or I can't explain why I am where I am.
Oh, that's a brilliant summary of what's played out in the third round. So it's really, for these golfers, just accepting that there'll be some carnage out there and just trying to do their best to alleviate the damage.
Yeah, and the best at this is Mr. Cool, you know, Scotty Scheffler. You'd think he was playing with his mates the way he goes about his round. He never seems to get too fussed about things, never seems to get too excited about things, although he did like the eagle at 13. But he just keeps plodding along. And at the end of the day, we've got the best player in the world on top of the leaderboard after a round of 1-under-71, somehow, leading by 1-over Colin Morikawa, who is already a 2-time major champion and is backing himself to win this. He's putting well again. He's got a new putter in the bag. And dear old Max Homer, who's starting to believe himself, is only 2 shots out of it. If you want a wild card, this kid, Ludwig Åberg, the Swede, was an amateur at college this time last year. And here he is at 4 under after a 70, fourth heading into the final round. It's going to be an interesting day tomorrow because I know Augusta won't make the course any easier. So they're going to have to work for their money, which incidentally is a prize pool of $20 million this year. The winner gets $3.6 million. So it's certainly worth trying.
Absolutely worth trying for. So are conditions likely to be equally challenging tomorrow, particularly in terms of the speed of the greens, Graeme?
Well, the forecast is for warmer weather in the old measurement, 83 degrees, and the winds are supposed to be moderate. They were very mild this morning when I was out on the course, but they got up a bit in the afternoon. But I don't think Augusta will be putting much water in those greens. I think they had the course pretty close to where they wanted it today. They may back it off just a little bit in case the winds do get up and the ball start blowing around on the greens again. But I think these guys are in for a test. I mean, what the leading score, I think, after the first round was 6 under. We've played two more rounds and we're at 7 under. It wouldn't surprise me if 7 or 8 under, which is the score, incidentally, that the Masters is happy with. They like between 8 and 10.
Well, it looks like they'll get their wish. Can I ask about Tiger Woods? His worst round in a major, as I understand it, including bogey on 6, double bogey on 7, double bogey on 8, bogey on 9. So what's he dropped there? Is that 6 shots in 4 holes he's dropped? His back nine has just been littered with bogeys. What happened to Tiger today?
He looked like a tired old man to me. He was still walking okay. The surgery on the ankle, which has fused it, I think has worked. But he was just hitting him all over the park. And that's a tired body. It's as simple as that. So he had nothing today. But, you know, he was stoic about it. There was no real club throwing or ground kicking or anything like that. He just accepted it. But he'll be super disappointed tonight. I'll be interested to see what he does tomorrow. I'm sure he won't quit. He'll come out and, you know, try really hard to shoot a good score. But he's only played 2 tournaments the last 2 years, really. And it's just too much for him. So he's got some thinking to do.
So you said sort of this feels like the winning score, and you know, 7, 8, 9 under. So Scottie Scheffler, will, if he shoots par tomorrow, will give himself a good chance. Is he the kind of golfer, Graham, who goes out there thinking, right, I'm just going to try and shoot par today?
He's a perfect manager. He's got a great caddy. They work really well together, and they've known each other for a long time. And he's a great manager of a golf course. And I think he can assess the feeling of how it's going, whether you can attack or you need to be defensive. And he'll figure that out tomorrow pretty quickly and keep an eye on what's going on around him. And he'll play accordingly. You know, if everybody starts going low, well, he can go low too. If everybody's playing defensive, well, he's not going to give it to them. So, you know, I think he wins tomorrow, to be honest with you. He's far and away the best player in golf at the moment. Coming into this tournament alone, he's had a win, and a loss in a playoff. Could have been 3 wins in a row. So, you know, he's the man. And he's the man because he figures out ways to win. He doesn't make too many mistakes. And he can be a birdie machine when he wants to be.
I suppose those chasing him can only look after their own game rather than worry about what Scottie Scheffler might do. So Morikawa, Homer, Oberg, you mentioned, DeChambeau, you're down now to 4 or 5 shots back. Nobody outside of that sort of quartet are going to get anywhere near the lead, are they, or are they?
I don't think so. I think it's really, well, the history of the Masters is that, I can't remember the percentage, but it's high, high, high percentage, that the winner usually comes from the last group, occasionally from the second to last group. It's very rare that you get a huge come-from-behind winner. I guess the last one that I can remember is Faldo came from 6 shots behind Greg Norman in, what was it, 1996, when Greg just blew up, shot 78, I think, in the last round. But that's very, very rare. So, you know, Scheffler would have to help them for that to happen.
All right. Well, we look forward to an intriguing fourth and final day. I think the summary you gave us of round 3 at the start of our chat, Graham, was probably the best indication of what the Masters has been like in 2024. I hope you don't have too many more rewrites to do tomorrow, but you probably will, won't you?
Yeah, it's a nightmare for somebody who's got a million deadlines per hour. So I'm hoping it's just slightly easier tomorrow because I'll be tearing my hair out if it goes on like this. And the old days, you know, often now you have to feed the network before the hour, and going live at the hour is fine because you just do what's there. But when you have to prepare something to get for a network feed and the thing changes 3 times while you're writing it, it's really difficult.
I don't mean to laugh. I can totally sympathise with you, Graham, as a fellow member of the media. You do a terrific job, mate. Thank you for joining us on Weekend Sport, both yesterday and today. Let's hope for a wonderful final round tomorrow. Graham Agars, gee, he's seen a lot of stuff in his time, and just to hear him talk about that give us his overall synopsis of the third round at the start of that chat was wonderful.
For more from Weekend Sport with Jason Pyne, listen live to News Talk ZB weekends from midday or follow the podcast on iHeartRadio.